the preaching of the cross. It is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For the preaching of the cross, it is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God.
Hello listeners, this is the Power of Endless Life, brought to you courtesy of Plumet Publishing, a Christian publishing house. Our goal on this program is to present to you Christ, His cross, and His church. I am your host, John Adichoro Olua.
Glad to be back as we go back to Hebrews chapter 6 from verse 1 to verse 3. Therefore, living the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms and of laying on of hands and of resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. And this we will do if God permit. Before we go on today, I want to read from Romans chapter 14. I'll be reading from verse 10 to 12. Romans 14 from verse 10 to 12. And it says, "But why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ." The issue here is about our standing before the judgment seat of Christ. That's what we'll be looking at and dealing with today. The same thing is spoken of in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10. And they say, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he had done, whether it be good or bad." So we see again that phrase, judgment seat of Christ. So that all of us, for we must all appear, every Christian, all must appear before the judgment seat of Christ. This judgment is for Christians, for those who have followed the Lord, those who are born again, who has received the Lord Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, and they have genuinely experienced the new birth, and they have followed God. He says, all of us, this is not written for unbelievers, but it's written for Christians. This is not written for just religious people or churchgoers, but it's talking about those who have experienced what it means to know Christ as their Lord and Savior and to have walked with Him. So all of us, we appear before His judgment seat. And then I want to read 1 Corinthians chapter 3 from verse 11 to 15. And it says, "For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he had built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's works shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire." So we see here again that this issue of judgment, when we link all the scriptures that we have read together, Romans chapter 14, verse 10 to 12, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10, and now 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11 to 15, we see the fact that the scriptures are clear that we are going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. First, it says, every man's work shall be judged. What we have done in the body, while we are alive in this physical body, shall be judged. It shall be judged, and the parameter of judgment is whether it be good or whether it's bad. So whatever we have done in this body, we'll be judged. Our actions and inactions, we'll be judged. What we have done for the Lord, we'll be judged. God has a standard, and he's going to subject everything we have done for him, the way we have lived, to judgment. Well, this judgment actually here, before the judgment seat of Christ, is a judgment for reward or otherwise. And we are going to see this. It's not a judgment that says whether you are born again or not born again. It is that you are qualified to be before this judgment seat of Christ once you are born again. So all of us, we appear there and we are going to be accountable to him of how we have lived. In fact, the Bible says every idle word that man speaks, he will give account. So if you look at it that way, that even for words that were spoken that are idle, that are useless, we are going to give account of it. And this should help us to live in the light of the scriptures, in the light of the judgment seat of Christ, to begin to fashion our lives, our conducts, our way of life in the light of this judgment that is ahead of us. Of course, we've shared with you on this program that the scripture says some people's judgment have gone ahead of them. The meaning of that, and that some people's judgment are behind them. The meaning of that is as we subject ourselves to judgment before God and we live in the light of God's word, like we have been sharing with you, and we judge ourselves by walking. The scripture says, that scripture will be quoting and quoting, that if we judge ourselves, we will not be condemned. If we begin to do that, we're already judging ourselves, we're already bringing ourselves before the judgment seat of Christ. We're not waiting until the day we will physically be there. We have that privilege to begin to do so now, to begin to judge ourselves in the light of this judgment. But then, here he says, not only that our conduct, the way we live, but the work we have done. That's where the issue of reward comes in. God wants to reward us for what we have done. Again, whether what we have done, again, Paul puts it this way, what we have done will be valued. He says, whether it be gold, silver, or precious stone, or whether what we have done will be considered to be wood, hay, or stubble. Now, we know that these are important things. These are materials that we are familiar with. And we know that gold and silver and precious stones are not common. They are not common. And you have to labor in order to get them. The process of getting gold is digging silver and so on and so forth. And precious stone. We know the processes. And that shows to us that our life in Christ is a process. And we're going to look at the scriptures at what these things, what they mean. God is always talking about the glory and the nature of God in man. You will see that some of the furnitures in the tabernacle were covered with gold. They were given instruction to make sheeting wood, those furniture with sheeting wood, but they are to be covered with gold. That's suggesting that our human nature must be covered with the glory of God, with the nature of God. That's why Jesus said to the church of Laodicea, come and buy from me gold tried in fire. So as we live with the Lord and we live by the Spirit and we give up the works of the flesh, we are taking, we are buying. We are buying this gold. We are buying the nature of God. We are buying the glory of God. We are giving up our human nature, our humanity, our flesh, our flaws. We are giving it up and we are acquiring something that is of God. This is what the scripture is talking about here. So whether what I have done in living my Christian life, I've lived in such a way, in submission to God, that I've given up my humanity, I've given up my flesh, my carnality, in order to acquire the nature of God, the nature of Christ in me. This is very, very important. The greatest thing we can get in working with God is to submit to his dealing and to his process by his Spirit, so that in the process of submission and yielding to God, an exchange is going on. We are giving up our human nature, our carnality, our flesh, our corruption, and we are taking the nature of God. We are taking the glory of God. God is emptying himself to us while he's emptying us out. So this is what he means by gold. So God has a standard. God is looking for gold. God is looking for silver. Silver is talking about redemption in the scriptures. So we see also he's talking about how much of redemption we have experienced. The Bible says in the book of Revelation 14, he said, these are redeemed from the earth. In other words, there's no guile, there's no deception in them. They have experienced redemption in their spirits, in their soul, and as well as in their body. The scriptures say we are waiting for the redemption of our body. So we see here, redemption here must be experienced in all, in the spirit, in the soul, in the body of man. So a man's spirit must be redeemed, the soul must be redeemed, and the body too must be redeemed. That is redemption. And that's why I would like to read for us, talking about this issue of redemption. Let's look at it the way it is expressed in Revelation chapter 14. And it said, and I looked from verse 1, and lo, a lamb stood on the mount of Zion, and with him 144,000, having his father's name written in their foreheads. And I heard a voice from heaven, as the voice of many water, and as the voice of great thunder, and I heard the voice of harpers harping with their harps. And they sung, as it were, a new song before the throne, and before the four beasts, and the elders. And no man could learn that song, but the 144,000, which were redeemed from the earth. The earth means that to be redeemed from earthiness, carnality, corruption. That they redeemed from the earth. Verse 14, these are they which were not defiled by women, for they are virgins. We are supposed to be spiritual virgins. These are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. These are redeemed from among men. They are redeemed from the earth, meaning carnality, meaning soulishness, and meaning corruption. But also they are redeemed from among men, being the first fruits unto God and to the Lamb. And we'll be talking about the first fruit here, that the first fruit are those who are overcomers that the Lord is coming for in his second coming. I hope you can reconnect some of these things we have shared them in the past. So the scriptures will always explain themselves to us. And in verse 5 say, and in their mouth was found no guile or deception. One of the ways to see how far you have journeyed in this redemption, that you have experienced redemption, it has to do with what you say. It has to do with deception in your mouth. Whether you have been redeemed, we have experienced this redemption. One of the ways to judge your journey with God, how far you have gone with God, is that, what do you say? You say, and their mouth was found no guile or deception. That your yea is yea and your nay is nay. That you are truthful in every way, in everything, that you are truthful. That you speak the truth. When somebody says he's born again and he cannot speak the truth, you can't depend on him. You can't rely on what he says. You can never be sure of what he says. That shows that he is born again, but he's not experiencing redemption in the way he should. If we move on in God, redemption should be made manifest in what we say in our tongues. Okay? For they are without fault before the throne of God. This is what he's talking about. Okay? So we can link this to what we have read when he's talking about a gold, silver, and precious stone. We also know that it's important that we understand this. I want to go to Isaiah 28 to explain what it means by precious stone to us. Now, the scripture says that we are like lively stones. When we are born again, we become living stone. Let's go to that first Peter first before we now go to Isaiah 28. In 1 Peter 2, verse 5, you will see that they say this. I'm reading now from 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5. He say, ye also, as lively stone or as living stones, have built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. And it says here, ye also, that is talking about something, because you will see this in verse 3 of that same chapter 2. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. So you see here, the Lord himself is referred to as a living stone, the living stone. He's the living stone. We are living stones. Okay? And said, but it's not only that the Lord is a living stone, but also precious stone. And so when we give our life to Christ, we become living stones. Living stone. But in the process, as we journey with God, we move on just being living stone. And this is what we want to link up with now, what it says in the book of Isaiah 28. Can you come with me as we go to Isaiah 28? Trust that we are following. We trust that the Lord is giving us understanding. We link the scriptures one to another. I want to read from Isaiah 28 and verse 16. It says, therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. So we see here the first thing is the stone, a living stone. But in our joy, when we become born again and we become living stones, God has to take us through experiences, wilderness experiences, testing and all that. And then we become tried stones, having passed through tests, we become tried stones, tested stones. Okay? And then, because this is true, the scripture says this, that God tries us. God will test our heart. God will say, I took you through this wilderness to test you, to try you, to see. So God takes us through this experience. So we move from being living stones to become tested or tried stone. And then from this, we move on to the next level and we become what? Precious stones. And that's why when you go to the book of Revelation, in Revelation, when it's talking about the eternal church, the glorious church, it's talking about all the precious stones were complete in that church. So we see this and we believe we can link all this together and see what the scripture is actually showing to us. To reinforce this, I would like to read Revelation chapter 21. First one, I'll then go to maybe verse 19. He said, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And then verse 2, and I just saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. This is the glorious church, fully prepared as the bride for the Lord Jesus Christ. And then you go to verse 19. And the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. And then he goes on to mention this stone. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, and the third chalcedony, the fourth emerald, and on and on and on. So, but I've just shown this to us that we need to understand the scriptures. That what Paul is talking about here is talking about we coming and standing before the judgment seat of Christ to receive judgment. And he says, if what we are built on the foundation is Christ himself. The apostles laid the foundation. Christ is the chief cornerstone. So he says, now the judgment is this. The judgment is about what have we become in our journey into redemption in Christ. Have we become precious stones? Have we experienced salvation and redemption in such a way that is depicting silver, that we have been redeemed the way we have shown to you in Revelation chapter 14, following the Lamb whithersoever he goes, so that we're experiencing this redemption because we keep following the Lamb on Mount Zion. We are following as the Lamb. We are following him so that the Lamb nature may be impacted to us. This is our journey into every level, every facet of our redemption. And then we become precious stones, like we have seen in the book of Isaiah 28, and like we have seen here in Revelation chapter 21. So this bride, this glorious church, this bride of Christ is going to be made up of precious stones. So the judgment will be whether I am ready to be included in this glorious church. Have I allowed God to process me and to change me so I've moved from being just a living stone to a tried stone and then to become a precious stone? This is what we see in the scriptures, and this is what is going to be what God will be looking for at the judgment seat of Christ. So that's why we must not wait until we die. We must understand, as we've been sharing with you on this program, that it's our judging ourselves, submitting, walking in the Spirit, that God has the chance to work these things into us so that we are prepared for this day that is ahead of us. So we see this is the issue here. Then you see that Paul here saying that, but if what we are built is not gold nor silver and it's not a precious stone, then what it is? Is that it either be wood? Wood is talking about humanity, it's talking about human nature, that which will not lie, that which can decay, cannot fit into this glorious church that God is talking about, this eternal church. It's either hay. Hay is talking about grass. And then I'd like to show to you, if you go to Isaiah chapter 40, verse 6 to 8, and we will see how this adds to our understanding. He said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all the goodliness thereof is as the flower of the field. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. And then verse 8, the grass withered, the flower faded, but the word of our God shall stand forever. So he's saying that if at the end of the day, I am not gold, I am not silver, I have no journey to become precious stone, then what will I be likened to? I'll be likened to a grass. That's what the scripture is showing here. You are either gold, silver, or precious stone, or all of this should be in us. Really, we should be gold, we should be silver, we should be precious stone. All this should be found in us, as we have seen in that Revelation chapter 20. So if I'm not, then I'm wood. If I'm not, and then hey, just talking about the grass, like we have just read in Isaiah chapter 40. Okay, so we see that he said all flesh is grass. In other words, what he's saying there, if I am just wood, I'm just flesh. If I am just hay, I am just flesh. And it's also, if I'm just stubble, I am just flesh. All is just things that cannot last, things that can be corrupted. So listener, the issue is this: what will you be when you stand before the judgment seat of Christ? Will you be gold, and then you also be silver, and then you also be at the same time be precious stone? Or will you just be wood, which is talking about corruption, humanity, that which cannot endure forever? Okay? Or are you just to be ordinary grass, hay, and stubble? So that is the issue. That's what we need to understand, and we need to apply our hearts to. I hope that we are seeing the light. The Word of God is coming to us, and I trust that the Word of God will be light to us, to change us and to transform us. Again, the question is this. The scriptures say all of us shall stand before the judgment seat of Christ. What we say looking for is looking for those who have submitted themselves to become gold, what again, silver, precious stones, and then they can stand. They can do. You know what it means for gold to be bright and to shine and to glow? It must have gone through fire, through processes. The same thing for silver, the same thing for precious stone. They just don't happen. They submit to process. Our faith is about allowing God to process us so that we can progress into what He wants to find out from us, what He has ordained us to be. That is what the scripture is saying. Remember, we're talking about eternal judgment. It's one of the foundational truths in the scripture that we must understand clearly. And we trust that this understanding is coming so that we can live in the light of these scriptures. God's demand upon us that when we get born again, it is not just to sit down and continue to live our life in the flesh. The scripture says to be carnally minded is death. To be spiritually minded is life. We are seeing all flesh is grass. What are you going to be? So this is the issue of standing before the judgment seat of Christ. Of course, if I am wood, hay, or stubble, what will I be able to produce for God? You cannot produce something higher than yourself. You cannot. It's not possible. So if I am not gold, silver, and precious stone, and I am ministering and I'm raising people, what am I raising? I will raise people just like myself. Now, this is important. We have shared here it's possible to be a Christian, be born again, be speaking in tongues, and live in the flesh. It's possible. It's a reality. It's what we see. And it's those who now move, knowing that they are born again, and they want to move on to allow God to deal with them. They want to follow the Holy Spirit, yield to the Holy Spirit, judge themselves, submit to God's dealing and pruning. Jesus said, when you bear fruit, my Father will prune you so that you can bear much more fruit. This is the word of God. This is how we prepare ourselves for that judgment that is there ahead of us, the judgment seat of Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, there are one or two things I feel we should look at before we conclude today. So let's go back to what we read again in that 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and I want to highlight one or two things. Here, Paul is saying that there's only one foundation, that's verse 11, for other foundation can no man lay than is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, verse 12, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, and stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work for what sort it is. One, I want you to see here that there's a foundation that has been laid. And I want you to connect to this, the fact that what we've been teaching here is also foundational truth. The way foundation is laid for us is this: if we have been taught the truth, like we'll be sharing with you from Hebrews chapter 6 about this foundational truth, this is Christ being given to us through these teachings. And by knowing this truth and walking in them, foundation is being laid for us, which is Christ. And what the scripture is showing, if the foundation is not there, we cannot move on to perfection. We see that clearly in that Hebrews chapter 6. But the other side of this is that if proper foundation has been laid and somebody is trying to build something that will not agree with the foundation will throw it away. That's why I say if we build what is wood, hay, and stubble, it shall not stand. So what is your foundation is important. Some of you are hearing me, and maybe your desire to follow God, but you may not be able to do so until you visit your foundations. Who has Christ been given to you? Actually, is Christ your foundation? What he's talking about here is not just being born again, but that you've been given Christ. You've been given the foundation that can carry what God wants to build into your life. That's what the point I want to make. It says here, the day shall reveal it. The scripture said the path of the just like a shining light, shining brighter and brighter unto the perfect day. There's a day that this judgment is set to be taken. So it said the day will reveal it, whatever you are made of, whether you are made of gold, silver, and precious stone, you are made of wood, hay, and stubble. But please don't wait until that day. You can do something before that. Then the next thing it says, the fire shall reveal it. We know that in the scripture, fire speaks of test, speak of persecution, even speak of tribulation. You remember Jesus said to them, he said, come and buy from me gold tried in fire. This is what I believe, that now God can test us. Now God can allow certain things to happen to test what we are made of. Every day, God set the stage, set the situations to test us and see what we are made of. And for instance, somebody is offended and he gets angry and becomes wild. He says, it's because you made me to be angry. No, the person who has caused offense has only been used to test you to bring out what is inside of you. Anger is there. The offense is just something that brought out what is in you. That's the point we want to make here. So God allows tests to bring out what is in us so we can see and cry to God so that God can change us. And then I want to also believe, that's why it's important to understand the scriptures. I believe that Christians who refuse to be tested now, to give in to God now, that's why they will have to go through tribulation. Because Jesus said, come and buy from fire. Yeah, buy from fire. Now, we can buy, but then if you don't buy now, then God will have no option that will allow us to go into great tribulation. Possibly we'll bring that again. It's an important point. Finally, as we go, I want to see that this judgment that is coming, I believe there are about two or three things that is important for you and I to ponder. Number one, whatever we do, we must ask ourselves this question. What is the motive for doing this that I'm doing? Number two, we must ask ourselves, is what I'm doing, is it in obedience to the Lord? Whatever I do that is not in obedience to the Lord is hay, wood, and stubble. Whatever the Lord has not led me to do can never become gold, silver, or precious stone. It will always remain wood, hay, and stubble. The other thing that is important to ponder is this. Whatever I do, not in the power of the Holy Spirit, whether service or whatever I do, whether big or small, that is not done in the power of the Holy Spirit, can never become gold, silver, or precious stone. In other words, it's important that we place this before ourselves. The scripture says in Romans 2:16, it says, God will judge the secret of man's heart. Your motive for doing what you are doing, is it God that asking you to do what you are doing? Whatever a man does out of selfishness, vain glory, will never produce gold, silver, or precious stone. So from this moment, stop and ask yourself, why am I doing this? What's the motive? Is it God leading me? Is it for myself? Is it for God? Is it the Holy Spirit? Who is leading me? Who is asking me to do what I'm doing? You must stop and ask yourself that question. The second, you must, what I'm doing now, is it in obedience to the Holy Spirit? Am I being instructed by the Holy Spirit to do it? If it's not the Holy Spirit, then it's not going to be gold. It's not going to be silver nor precious stone. The other important question, like I say, you must ask, what am I doing? Am I doing the power of God? We can serve God. We can sing. We can preach. We can perform miracles using our soulish powers. We can employ other powers to do what we're doing. But as long as it's not the power of the Holy Spirit, true Holy Spirit, it can never be gold. It can never be silver or precious stone. So those are the three questions I think you should ask yourself and that I should ask myself at this point. I trust that this will help us to see and to begin to put our life in the light of the Word of God. Listener, I ask that the Lord will bless you. I ask that what you are hearing and what we are sharing will be a blessing to you. Our purpose for coming is that Those who are hungry and thirsty for God, who wants to get prepared for the Lord in this last day, because it's coming, for a glorious church, a church without spot, without wrinkle. But this is the way to eat. Christian living is about process, about submitting to God's process by the Holy Spirit, and then working progression, becoming what God wants us to be. I ask that this will be our desire, our prayer, our intercession for ourselves to be all that God wants us to be. I ask the Lord to bless you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
This message, The Power of Endless Life, is brought to you courtesy Plummet Publishing, a Christian publishing house. You can call us on these phone numbers, 0803-392-2585 and 0706-3890-315. I take it again, 0803-392-2585, 0706-3890-315. You can also send us an email through the following email addresses: endlesslifeabuja@yahoo.com and endlesslifeabuja@gmail.com. I take it again, endlesslifeabuja@yahoo.com and endlesslifeabuja@gmail.com. You can also visit our website, www.plummetmission.org. The signature tune is taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18 of King James Version. Thanks to our regular host, John Adejoroluwa, our producers and our sound engineers. Please join us again, same time next week, and God bless you.
For the preaching of the cross, it is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power.